If you have a Bible this morning, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Go to the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 1, it's the first book after Psalms, and Psalms is right in the middle of the Bible, the whole Bible. So find Psalms and go to the right. Proverbs chapter 1, we'll be there in just a moment. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the power of your word. It sustains us. It gives us life. It's living and active. And I pray, Lord, today you would teach us by the Holy Spirit through the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. The Form series is about allowing God to shape us and mold us into the people that he's created us to be. Spiritual formation, which essentially means being formed into the image of Christ, is both joyful and painful. It's uplifting, and it can also be humiliating. It can be frustrating, but it can also be exhilarating. And last week, Pastor Neil launched this series, this Form series, by talking about humility. And he, in that message, he discussed his own weakness in that area, his own propensity toward pride and ego. It was a great message as he walked us through that. And as we talk about this Form series, we intentionally chose a potter's wheel as kind of the symbol of the series. Because the clay on the potter's wheel is constantly being shaped and molded and formed by the potter, and it's a constant work in progress. And the whole idea of this series is, yes, there's things that God wants to work in our lives, and no, we'll never get there to perfection in this life, but it's a constant process because we're all undergoing the change and work of the potter. So raise your hand if your life group, the life group that you're currently a part of, is studying the Form series. Just raise your hand if your group is studying that. That's awesome. Now raise your hand again if you are part of one of our new life groups. Just slip your hand up. You're part of one of those new groups. Fantastic. We're really excited and pray that as you have a good experience in biblical community with other people, that this will become a lifestyle for you and something that continues on. So welcome to week 2 of our Formed series. And today's topic is wisdom. So slip your hand up if you've ever made an unwise choice. Come on now, you've ever made an unwise choice? Sure we have, in one way or another. How did you know it was an unwise choice? How about it kind of messed my life up, right? Like, how do you know if a choice is wise or unwise? Now, how many of you know a person that you think is really wise? Everybody know somebody that you would say, that's a wise person. And when I think of wisdom or a wise person, that's who I think of. Now, here's what I want you to do for 30 seconds. I want you to talk, if there's a person on your left or on your right, I want you to talk with them for about 30 seconds about what was it about that person that you think made them wise? Why were they wise? Go ahead, 30 seconds, talk to the person next to you about that. Okay, so there's someone in your life that you would consider wise. Shout it out to me. What was it that made them wise? They were Christian? Oh, that doesn't necessarily make them wise. I'm a Christian. I do a lot of unwise things, but thank you for suggesting. Yeah, I didn't mean to embarrass. Thank you. Now no one's going to share because Jeff was so stupid and unwise. I so apologize to you. I just went against everything in my notes just now about what wisdom is. So I'm done. I'm done today. So what else? What else indicates wisdom in a person's life?
Experience.
Experience, good. What else? Christian was really good, by the way. What else? What's that? Yeah, the fruit of her faith walk, sure. What else?
Humility.
Endurance. What else?
Humility.
Humility.
Achievement.
Yeah, okay, good. What else?
Applied
the word of God in their life.
Non-judgmental.
Good. They thought before they spoke. Why you gotta hate? I don't get it. they keep learning. Thank you for that. Yeah. Okay, let's just move on. So I want you to know that God's love toward us doesn't change based on wise or unwise choices, okay? He loves us with or without a mess in our life. So my kids went through Christian school, Christian high school, then they went to college, and they were semi-knuckleheads their whole life in terms of choices and good choices and bad choices. But it seemed like when they got to college, the bad choices and unwise choices began to dominate a little bit. And they made a few more bad choices at that age than they did earlier years. They were out, you know, in their own freedom and everything. But I didn't love them any less. I knew they were knuckleheads. I challenged them with things that they needed to change in their life. I'd sit across the table from them at breakfast. We'd go out to breakfast. I'd say, "What in the world are you doing? Like, what's going on in your life?" But my love for them never changed. And God's love for us doesn't change even when we're in a mess. It just makes life harder, right, when we make unwise choices. Children are born outside of marriage because of unwise choices. I got kicked out of my high school my sophomore year because of an unwise choice. Maybe you've gotten fired from a job. Maybe you're on parole, or you've been on parole. Maybe you're in rehab. Kids, maybe you're on restriction. Maybe you're grounded for life. Maybe your parents have taken everything away from you because of poor choices. We all make them. Maybe your marriage is struggling right now because of some poor choices. Here's what I want you to walk away with today. The level of wisdom that we walk in determines the level of mess that we live in. The level of wisdom we walk in determines the level of mess that we live in, because chaos follows foolish choices. Show me a person living in chaos, and I will show you a pattern of unwise choices in their life. I want to talk for a few minutes about the dynamic qualities of wisdom, and I am no expert on this, and I make mistakes every day about this. If you're taking notes, number one is this: wisdom is learned. Wisdom is learned. Some things develop naturally in life. If you are a 12 or 13-year-old boy, you don't have to work or do anything to grow facial hair. It's just going to happen. You'll wake up one morning and it's going to be there. You're going to have to shave. Your hair is going to grow about a half inch every month, six inches a year. You don't have to work. If you're young and you're growing, your feet are going to grow. You don't have to worry about that. You're going to get taller. You don't have to try to make that happen. It's just going to happen. Wisdom is not developed naturally. You can't sit around and just think that wisdom will form in you. It has to be pursued. It has to be learned. It has to be desired and sought after. If you're in Proverbs chapter 1, did I ask you to turn to Proverbs chapter 1? Okay, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. And as Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, and in this opening line, he's going to tell us why the book is written. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, to know wisdom. To know wisdom. Why is the book of Proverbs written? To know wisdom and instruction. To discern the sayings of understanding. To receive instruction in wise behavior, in righteousness, in justice, and in equity. The book of Proverbs was written to give prudence to the simple, to the youth. How many young people I have in here? Come on, shout it out loud. To the youth, knowledge, and discretion. Why is the book of Proverbs written to give young people wisdom? To teach them. Now, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. A chapter for every day of the month, when there's 31 days in the month. So God's intention is we would imbibe 31 days of wisdom. Young people, you can do that. You can read a chapter of Proverbs every day. A wise person will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding, person of understanding, will acquire, literally seek, wise counsel. In order to understand a proverb and a figure of speech, the words of the wise and their riddles, clearly there is some effort on our part to acquire, learn, and gain wisdom. The Holy Spirit teaches us wisdom primarily through Scripture, the Bible. But the Holy Spirit also teaches us wisdom through life experience and through people who can give us good counsel. If you're taking notes, just jot this down. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Bible is our textbook. And life is our classroom to learn wisdom. Wisdom is learned, so we grow in wisdom. Every day we have new opportunities to make wise choices. We grow in wisdom whenever we choose to follow God's direction for every situation. Did you know that God has a plan for you for each situation that you encounter in life, a plan of wisdom, a pathway or a road to wisdom? We'll talk about how we discover that here in a minute. Second thing I want to say is that wisdom isn't knowledge. It's different. Wisdom isn't knowledge. Wisdom requires knowledge, but wisdom is what we do with the knowledge that we have. It's knowledge applied. I may have knowledge, but if I don't apply it, I won't become wise. How many of you play the piano, or when you were younger took piano lessons? Now, there's a lot to playing a piano. There's first of all things that you have to learn. There's some music theory involved. You have to be able to read music. You need to know what the keys are for. You have to know finger positions. And you can know all of that and never be a piano player unless you do what? Unless you practice. Unless you take that knowledge and apply it. It doesn't do you any good to learn and to store that up without putting it into practice. And wisdom is the same. It's only when we apply the knowledge of the Bible to our situations that we become wise. Proverbs 10:14 says, "Wise men store up knowledge." Say, store up. Wise people store knowledge up, but with the mouth of the foolish, ruin is right at hand. To store up knowledge is to learn it and then to file it away or archive it for future use. Wise people store up a database of knowledge by learning Scripture, by learning the Bible. They learn it and they archive it. They store it up. When they need to make a moral decision, it's already in their database. The Holy Spirit already has something to guide you with from God's wisdom if you've stored up His Word in your life. Stored up means that when you choose, have to choose a path that has to do with a moral decision, the decision has already been made. In other words, as you store up knowledge, as you store up this database of information from Scripture, the decision about what to do morally has already been made before you get to the point of having to make a decision. So for example, the time to decide if you're at the age of dating, what the sexual or physical boundaries are going to be in that relationship, the time to decide that is not when you're sitting on the couch with no one around and you're making out. When your hormones are going crazy and your emotions are running wild, that is not the moment to determine where should we go with this. How many of you know you need to store up before you're stirred up? Amen? The decision is made not in the heat of the moment. The decision is made well prior to that. Now take a look at this picture. Okay, that's not the point of making a moral decision. You don't get to the crossroads. You don't get right there and go, which way do I go? No, you got to back up way back on that road and say, when I get to that situation, when I get to that moment of a moral decision, a right and wrong decision, what has Scripture already taught me? So that when I get there, I don't have to wonder which is the right path to take. But the wise person stores up knowledge. Proverbs 22:3 says, "The prudent or the wise person sees danger before it gets there and takes refuge or hides himself. But the simple don't see the danger and they go on and they pay the price." See, fools decide emotionally in the moment. Wise people are deliberate about truth, and they know in advance. Do I have any baseball or softball players in here? Just lift your hand. Baseball and softball players? So I didn't play a lot of baseball. I wasn't that good. I was afraid of the ball when I batted, so I didn't get very far in baseball. But I played basketball. But in baseball, I did play Little League, and they taught us some things when we were practicing. So they'd throw the team out there on defense. They'd have the infield. They'd have the outfield. The coach would be at home plate with a bat and a ball. And he would give us what's called situations. He'd say, okay, now there's one out. And he'd put a runner on first and a runner on second. And he'd say, now, if the ground ball goes to third, what are you going to do? If the ground ball goes to short, what are you going to do? The ground ball goes to second. And what bases are you going to cover if it's a ground ball? It got way more complicated. That's why I quit. So it went into, okay, if it's a slow ground ball, where are you going to go? If it's a hard shot, where are you going to go? If it's a line drive that you get, then what are you going to do with it? Now there's two runners on. There's two outs. There's no outs. My mind was ready to explode with all of these possibilities of what could happen. The point is, baseball players and softball players know what they're going to do before the ball is hit to them. The wise person stores up knowledge. They have a database of God's truth in their minds. Moral decisions are made well before the decision comes. See, the level of wisdom that we walk in determines the level of mess that we live in. Now remember, wisdom isn't knowledge. That's how we started this. It's the proper application of knowledge. And the proper application of knowledge is dramatically affected, how many of you would agree with this, by the words that we speak? How many of you would say that words have something to do with wisdom in life, what we say? Proverbs 10:19 says, when there are many words, sin or transgression is unavoidable. It's just our nature. You keep talking, you're going to sin. You're going to say something you shouldn't have said. When words are many, sin is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips, say restrains. He who restrains his lips is wise. To restrain your lips is to put a filter on your mouth. Wisdom uses a filter. It's hard to put your foot in your mouth when there's a filter covering it, right? Wisdom wears a filter. I've heard this before from different people. Talking about people that just don't seem to have a filter. They'll say whatever just comes to their mind, and they'll say things like, well, they're just really blunt. Meaning they don't really have a filter. And my response is, maybe they're not very wise. Maybe Scripture says there's no restraint. Maybe we shouldn't glamorize blunt and honest, because maybe it's not always wise just to say whatever comes to your mind. Have you ever heard an inner voice of restraint saying, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, and then I say it, and I'm like, what are you doing? I say it. And the Holy Spirit's like, I was trying to save you, bro. I was trying to keep you from the mess. I warned you not to say it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like you get that inner voice saying, no. Don't say it, and then we do. Maybe it's the restraint of the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Holy Spirit has a filter in our lives. See, wisdom considers not only what to say, but what not to say. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says to me, lovingly, dude, shut the pie hole. Like, seriously, dude, shut it. Like, this is... Number one, that's not what you should say. And number two, this is not when you should say it. Now listen to Proverbs 17:28. This is such a powerful scripture. Even a fool or a foolish person, if he keeps silent, is considered what? You can look wise even if you're not by shutting the pie hole at times. When he closes his lips, he's considered prudent. How important is a filter on our mouth when it comes to wisdom? Now, wisdom considers the timing of our words. When we say something could be as important as what we say. I have what I call the last straw rule. The last straw rule. Do you remember that phrase that was the straw that broke the what? The camel, you've heard that before, right? The straw that broke the, what is that story about? Camels are strong animals. Camels can take a lot of weight. They can carry heavy loads. Can you imagine one strand of straw breaking the back of a camel? Why is that? Because they're already so weighed down with cargo, so weighed down with the weight of things that they're carrying, that you throw one more strand of straw on that pack, and it breaks them. Guys, there's the no straw rule when we're trying to walk in wisdom with people, and we need to communicate things to them. So you're like, hey man, I know your spouse just walked out on you, and I know your boss just fired you. I know your pet just died, and I know the doctor just said you had cancer. But listen, I got something really important I need to tell you right now. No! Whatever you are going to tell them is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Maybe you need to wait. Maybe you need to have a sense of timing with this conversation, not just the what. So wise people not only know what to communicate, but they know when to communicate it, and they know how to communicate it. And some of you say the right what, but with the wrong how, and with the wrong when. And when I say some of you, I'm including myself. I do it all the time. Wrong time, wrong method, wrong words. So there's a couple in the Bible. They were a married couple. Their names were Priscilla and Aquila. They were partners with Paul in planting churches and establishing the gospel throughout Asia Minor and in other places. And they were at Ephesus. And they had to share some truth with a man named Apollos. And let's look at this story here to see how they handled it. It says, it's in Acts chapter 18, a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man. What does eloquent mean? Like, this dude could really speak in front of people. I mean, people loved listening to him. He came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. Now, this would be the Old Testament scriptures. The New Testament was in the process of being written. So he knew the Old Testament. And this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning the life of Jesus. But he was only acquainted or only understood the baptism of John. That was his limitation. He began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him and literally heard what he was teaching, they recognized something was missing. Something was wrong. As eloquent, as passionate, as charismatic as he was, something was missing. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So this text tells us a lot about Apollos. He was eloquent. He was a great speaker. He knew the Bible well. He was charismatic, passionate. But he was only teaching the people the message of repentance, based on John the Baptist's message, was you need to turn from your sin and turn to the Lord, without an understanding of the Holy Spirit who had been already given to the church. He wasn't teaching people the Spirit-filled life. He was only teaching, leading them up to a point of repentance. And there were other New Testament doctrines that he didn't understand. And so Priscilla and Aquila hear him, and they realize he's falling short of what should be preached in the New Testament context. He doesn't have all the information. So how would Priscilla and Aquila handle that conversation? Because it wasn't just what they needed to communicate, but there was a how and a when that wisdom brought into play. And this is where people like us and Priscilla and Aquila need to rely on the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom, to guide us in wisdom in those moments. We're not privy to the conversation. We don't know what they said. We don't know how they said it. But if you continue in that chapter, verses 27 and 28, they must have used wisdom because Apollos' ministry was just launched into this greater level of excellence. I mean, he continued to powerfully preach and teach after this conversation with Priscilla and Aquila, and I believe they understood not just what, but they knew how to communicate that, and they knew the appropriate timing. Number three, wisdom understands why. Wisdom understands why. Knowledge might tell us the what of things, but wisdom tells us why. There's a great verse in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8. It says, "The wisdom of the shrewd is to understand his way. The wisdom of the shrewd means that they understand their own journey, their own way. To understand means to know intimately, to fully perceive, to see something from every angle. The word way in that verse means the path that you're on, the pattern of your life or the course of your life. Wise people know why life works the way it does. They know their own journey. They know what makes their life work. They see it from every angle. So wisdom not only knows what's right or wrong, wisdom knows why it's right and why it's wrong. Someone once said to me that the person who knows what to do will probably always be employed, but the person who knows why we're doing it will probably be the leader. I know you're sitting there saying, yeah, Jeff, but my boss doesn't know much about anything. He doesn't know why or what. Well, that's the exception maybe, and maybe you'll be promoted into his position if you learn the why. But it's kind of easy to know the what of life, but when we get deeper to the why that happens or why that should happen, that lifts us to a different level of wisdom. Parents, to raise wise children, you need to teach them why things are right morally and why things are wrong morally. Because I said so isn't enough. It's just not. You need to explain to them from God's perspective, why is this wrong? Why is this destructive? Or why is this helpful? And why is this beneficial for your life? You need to go deeper. Do you teach your children the moral reason why they should behave in a certain way? Do you teach your children why sex before marriage is wrong? Do you know why? Do you know why God doesn't want us to participate in sexual intimacy before we're committed to a lifelong partner in marriage? Do you know why that is? Are you able to explain that to someone? Why is cheating wrong? Why is cheating on a test wrong? Is it wrong if they don't get caught? Or is it only wrong if they get caught and suffer the consequences? Why is cheating wrong? Why is profanity wrong? You teach your kids not to speak that way. Why? What's wrong with it? Why is vaping wrong? What's wrong with it? Everyone's doing it. Why shouldn't I do it? Why is marijuana wrong? Why is dressing immodestly wrong? We teach our children that. No, you can't wear that to school. Why? It's not modest. So? No one else is modest. Why is this harmful to me? Or why is this good for me? I'm starting a podcast, and you'll get more information about it here in a few weeks, but we're going to roll this out. It's a parenting podcast to address these kinds of issues. Like as we're raising our kids in a Christian home, why do I tell them that this is not what God wants them? We'll cover other things, but that's one of the things we're going to do. Number four, wisdom is from God. Wisdom is from God. God is the source of all wisdom. It comes from God in a number of ways. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should do what? Ask God. Pray to him. Ask him for wisdom if you don't have the wisdom. If you don't know the why, you don't know the what of your situation. And God gives generously to all who ask without finding fault. It will be given to you. What an incredible promise. If I come to that crossroad in life where I'm not sure what to do, I can't figure this out on my own. If I ask God, he will give me wisdom. What an incredible promise that is. God gives generously when we ask. I love some of these Proverbs. I've been going over them this week. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth, say his mouth. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. God's mouth is his word. It's the Bible, but it's also the Holy Spirit who is his voice, his mouthpiece inside of us who guides us daily. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. The fear of the Lord means knowing God, being submitted to God in a relationship, reverencing him, recognizing his wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. That's where we begin, with a relationship with God and believing his word, believing the Bible and trusting the Holy Spirit. It flows out of this relationship we have with God. You've probably, many of you, memorized this scripture, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on what? Your own understanding. Don't rely on your own understanding. God has wisdom that he wants to give. In all of your ways, all of your circumstances, acknowledge God, and he will make your paths straight. Literally, he will direct you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, in all of your circumstances, acknowledge God, and he will direct you in the right path. The Hebrew word there for acknowledge is the root word to know. It's the Hebrew word yada. It means to perceive, to discern, to be familiar with, or to understand. That verse says, in all of your ways, all of your circumstances, all of your situations in life, we are to know, perceive, and understand what God is saying, what God is doing. In all of your ways, recognize God. Seek him out for direction. Don't lean on your own wisdom or understanding. In each moment of life, pursue God's wisdom through prayer. Ask him for it. So we come to these I don't know what to do situations as parents, in the workplace, in marriage, with relationships. And we get to a point and we say, I don't know what to do. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? The Bible, that's right, ask God. I preach messages almost every week, and inevitably, several times in my preparation, I hit a wall. I feel like either that doesn't make sense or that doesn't apply, or how do I understand that? Or Lord, where do I go with that? And I'll just leave my office and just walk through the church and I'll ask God, I don't get this. I don't get the meaning of this. Help me to understand this. Give me wisdom in this situation. Help me to understand where to put this in the message. And he does every time. I understand what God wants me to do. You know, it's the ultimate expression of pride to not ask God for wisdom in all of our ways. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, know him, and he will give you the right course of action. In all of your ways, God wants to direct you with his wisdom, and he will direct you. I love this verse in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. In chapter 8 of Proverbs, wisdom is made a person. In other words, wisdom is personified. It's this person that we watch, and we watch what wisdom does. And wisdom in this verse 34 gives some instruction. And it says, blessed is the man who listens to me. Remember, wisdom is talking. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates and waiting at my doors. Think about that picture. Blessed is the man who listens to wisdom, but doesn't just listen, then watches and waits. Because wisdom is about to come out the door. The door is about to swing open, and you are about to see wisdom, unless you're not watching for it. Unless you're not looking for it in the Bible, in that inner voice of the Holy Spirit, in people that you're talking to, wise counsel that you're seeking, in the circumstances of life, wisdom is about to throw the door open and show you what you're supposed to do. The gates are about to swing wide open. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching at my gates and waiting beside my doors. Do we do that? Do we ask God for wisdom and then watch and wait circumstantially through the voice of the Holy Spirit, through Scripture? God, what are you saying I should do? I love that new song that we sang this morning. One of the lines said, give me wisdom because God, you know just what to do. Now we're going to end our service this morning. We're going to bring our kindergartners out right now. Look at these beauties. And they're getting their Bibles today. We're going to get them started on a journey of wisdom. Parents, let me address you for a moment. David said in Psalm 119, how can a young man keep his way pure or in line with God's purpose? And David said, by guarding it according to your word. By guarding it according to your word. The greatest thing, parents, you can do is to help build a database of wisdom in the heart of your child by reading and talking about the Bible regularly. Parents, let me encourage you, make reading and talking about the Bible a high priority in your home. And let me just say this, parents, you don't have to have all of the answers. As you read the scripture, many times it's going to be really clear what the meaning of that is. And when it's not, they just keep coming, don't they? This is fantastic. Look at that. Getting the Word of God. You're reading the Bible in your home, and I think the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom that you need to understand it and to explain it to your children. Parents, work diligently to discover the whys of life's moral challenges and teach your kids. Teach them the Word of God. The level of wisdom we walk in determines the level of mess that they might live in. Let's spare them some mess. Amen? Now, kids, you got your, hold your Bible up real proud for me. Hold it up. That is the most important book you can ever read. And David said, your word, the Bible, I've hidden in my heart. I've read it and I've hidden it in my heart so that I won't sin against you. I won't make mistakes. I won't do the wrong thing. Will you do me one favor? Will you ask your parents, I'm going to look at every one of you, will you ask your parents to read you that book? Yeah? Will you ask them to teach you that book? To explain that book to you? Because that's the most important thing you can know in life. Let's give our kids a nice round of applause. As we close our service this morning, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And as I was sharing this morning, and it really was God that brought out that comment so I can show my own lack of wisdom in life. That was just a great example of how you can say the wrong thing in the wrong moment. And I do that. But you may be sitting here, standing now here this morning, and there's a situation in life that you need the direction of God. It might be a parenting issue, it might be a marriage issue, a relational issue, a work issue, personal issue, health issue. And if you're honest today, you would say, God, I really need your direction. And if that's you, we're going to do what James 1:5 asks us to do, and that's to ask God to give wisdom and expect that he will give it to us generously without finding fault. Would you bow your heads? Lord, I said that it would be the ultimate expression of pride to not ask for wisdom. The Proverbs say to trust in you with all of our heart. Don't lean on the way we think things should go. But in every situation, in every circumstance, to perceive, to know, to understand what you're saying, and that you will guide and direct our steps. So, Lord, many are here this morning standing, and they really need your wisdom. And so we ask together, Lord, would you give it to us? Would you show us what to do? Would you speak to us through Scripture? Would you speak to us, Lord, through that inner voice of the Holy Spirit? Would you surround us with wise people that can help shape and form us with that truth? Will you show us within circumstances what you're saying? We want to walk in your ways, and so we ask, Lord, for the wisdom to do that. In Christ's name, amen. Let me just read a blessing over you and dismiss you. May you receive a generous portion of God's wisdom. May you know God's wisdom in every circumstance. May you store up God's wisdom before you come to the crossroads of life. May the Holy Spirit be your teacher, the Bible your textbook, and life your classroom to learn God's wisdom. Amen. God bless you today.